Thank you for coming. It's good to see many here this evening. It's good to see Margaret here as well. And it's good to see my friend up the back there, Joe. Her and I have always had good crack when we visit, and it's always nice to see her. And it's good to wish her to be. Thank her for being here this evening. Could we come to our scripture reading tonight? Will be in Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew chapter 22. Again, we'll just commit the Lord the word of prayer. Father, we again give you thanks and we praise thy name. And we thank you for thy blessings and all thy goodness to us. And we would ask you, Father, for the help that we will need tonight as we proclaim the wonderful gospel of our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, the clay lips need help, and that all will be done to glorify thee and no other. And that, Lord, that the word tells us that it will not return void unto yourself. And we ask you that, Lord, you would go before and undertake. Well, we do ask this in the wonderful name of our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, our brother Sam was in John's Gospel. And I was reading that. I think it was John the Baptist. John the Baptist came in to bear witness of the light, and the Lord Jesus Christ was the light of the world. And we all know what a witness is, because we sometimes in our life will have done it. A witness, this is what somebody wrote about a witness. A witness is one who knows what he says. He says what he knows. He deals not with speculation. He speaks not of his own opinions. And he testifies what he knows to be the truth. That's what we'll do tonight. It's not my opinion. It's not me speculating. It's what God's word tells us. And that's there as our guidance and our truth tonight. Excuse me. In Scripture, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he says that he was the chief of sinners. And why did the Lord Jesus Christ come in to save sinners? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, we're told the reason why is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. And then he says in verse 18, he says that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he believeth him not in him. If he believeth not, is already condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So tonight we are asking you to believe what God's word tells you, not what I'm telling you, what God's word is telling you. And the way is that God is telling you. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. That's the way we must go. Jesus says that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. And could I ask you tonight, friend, if you're tuning in, where is your standing this evening? See, friend, my standing this evening, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Nothing else. A dirty, filthy, dirty old sinner saved by his wonderful and marvellous grace. And it's amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was through the cross of Calvary through the precious blood that was shed at Calvary. It was through the Lord Jesus Christ that I have salvation this evening. And that's the only way you're going to get it, is through the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a sinner. Coming as a sinner. John 3 and 3 tells us this, except a man be born again, he cannot. Listen to it. He cannot see the kingdom of God. I was reading through there just before Sam called me up. As I said to you, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Listen to what the words that this wee ham says. God forgave my sins in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name. And because you believe, others will know that I love. And that's why we're coming tonight through the gospel of our Savior and Lord. Nothing to do with us, nothing to do with anybody in the hall here. Thankfully that everybody in the hall is saved. But where is your standing tonight, friend? Where is it? Is it in Christ? Is it in sin? Is it in a solid rock? Is it in sinking sand? Are you heading for heaven? Or are you heading for hell? Where's your standing tonight? Is it eternal life in Christ Jesus? Or is it eternal damnation in hell? Where's your standing tonight? Because remember, friend, Romans 6:23 tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Remember, friend, good works will not get you into heaven. For by grace you are saved through faith, it's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we're coming to our scripture reading tonight. And it's Matthew 22:15. And what you're going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ telling you about it. Not me. He's going to be telling you what you must do. In our scripture reading, we have three groups. And instead of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, they're rejecting. That's what the world's doing today. They're rejecting instead of accepting. We have three groups. The first group is the Herodians. The second group is the Sadducees. And the third group is the Pharisees. You've read about them mostly times from time to time. But there's something to be learned from these people. The Herodians was a party that was favoured through the dynasty of Herod and stood for a Roman connection. They were associated with the Romans. They cared little or nothing for religion. They opposed the Pharisees. Sadly, they opposed Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. See, there's many religions. There's only one gospel. And that's the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Sadducees. Well, Sadducees is a small elite group composed of the priestly family. They were politically liberal as to win favour again of Rome. They rejected all the Old Testament scriptures except the 5 books of Moses. Yes, rejected all scriptures except the 5 books of Moses. It's sad that, isn't it? Because 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us this, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction and righteousness. Doctrine tells us what's right. Reproof tells us what's not right. Correction tells us how to get right. And instruction tells us how to stay right. And so we find this, these two groups, and they don't like one another. You'll find there in the readings, they don't like one another. And then they find the Pharisees. The Acts Apostles, Paul was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. All great men of God. But they had to come by the way of the cross. They had to be born again. And the Pharisees, by contrast, are associated more to the common people. That's made to give them stronger influence over them. They accepted all the Old Testament, but also much tradition regarding the oral law of Moses. You know, tradition seems to only take us one place, to take us to hell. The same as religion. They believed in the supernatural, they believed in miracles, and they believed in the resurrection of the dead. They were also self-righteous. I'm going to do a wee reading here in a wee minute with that. In Romans 3 verse 10, it tells us this: there is none righteous, no, not one. No matter who you are, if you're not saved, you're a sinner. I can't put it any clearer than this Bible tells us. If you're not saved, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. Let me ask you again, where is your standing this evening? We're going to start reading at verse 15 of Matthew 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples, where the Herodians said, Master, we know that thou art a true and teachest the way of God in truth. They wouldn't listen to that. Neither cast thou for any man, for thou regardest no person of men. God doesn't respect person. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt me, ye hypocrites? You know what a hypocrite is, don't you? He's a con man. He's somebody that tells you to do something and he does something else. Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto the Lord a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then he says unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled, and left him, and went their way. They marveled. They marveled at the word of God. But what did they do? They left them. Many times have you heard the gospel. Many times have you sat down and heard it. And you marveled at it. But you left them. And you went. They went their way. Many times have you heard it and you went your own way. They marveled, but they left him. We find in verse 23, the wonderful Sadducees. Verse 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees which say that there is no resurrection, and they ask him. They're trying to trap them, they're trying to corner them. Saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother should marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. That's meant if some man died and his wife had no family, the unmarried brother would marry the wife to raise up children for him, so that he would get his inheritance. And they were given an example right down to verse 28, and it says there, therefore in the resurrection whose wife shall there be of the seven, for they all had her. So there were seven brothers married her, and then finally she died, and they were asking him, whose wife would she be in heaven? This is what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. There's too many are in and they don't know the scriptures. But above all, they don't know the power of God. All us in this hall tonight know the power of God. They know that we were lifted up from the mire onto the solid rock of Christ Jesus. But we're all sinners saved by the wonderful grace of our Saviour and Lord. And he says this in verse 30, for in the resurrection they're neither married nor are they given in marriage, but are as angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. God is not a God of the dead, but God is a God of the living. First of all, we find that they marvelled and they went their own way. Isaiah 53:6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray, every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. They were astonished at his speaking here. They were astonished. But God says, the Lord says that God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. You see, there is the dead dead. That's those that are not saved, that are in the grave and in hell. There's the living dead. That's those that are not saved and they're walking about, but they're dead in trespasses and their sin. You know, and then there's a living. That's us that are saved, we're walking about, we're living at the minute. But we're in Christ Jesus. We're living. And then there's a dead living. That's those that are saved, that their bodies is in the grave, but absent from the body, present with the Lord. One day we'll come back, and our bodies will be changed, we'll be renewed to our bodies, but the bodies will be changed. And we'll be like him. Our God is a God of the living. And we're told in verse 33, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished. They marvelled. But they still didn't take him as their Lord and Saviour. They were still trying to trap him, that they could catch him out. Brothers and sisters, this evening in Christ, we're so much to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for us. And our heart's desire, as you know, is to take this wonderful gospel out to the world, where men and women can come to Christ. We're finding today, I've got this in here, the Lord showed me that this between the Herodians and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We have them in our churches and in our societies at the present time. Half of our churches is full, it's political. Half of our churches is compromising the word of God. Our churches are doctrines made from men. We are no different from when our Lord walked the earth. In John's Gospel, chapter 5, just come over away in John's chapter, but keep there in Matthew because we'll be coming back. Go on, John's Gospel, chapter 5. And verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth that they have done good, and unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. And I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear and I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beneath that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. Here we're finding there's two resurrections. Some people say that there's only one resurrection. Friend, I have to tell you the truth. There's two resurrections. There's a resurrection for those that are saved. The Lord will come and take them with himself. But there's a resurrection for the unsaved, the condemned. So as the Word of God tells us, you do err. You don't know the Scriptures, and you don't know the power of God therein. You have no excuse tonight if you're sitting listening to this. You cannot say you didn't hear it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 34 of Matthew, it tells us this. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. That's what they do. To try and block out the gospel. They're doing it today. You do err. Now, we're at 34. I want you to go to verse 35, and then I'll come back to that. And then verse 35, it says this: Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying. I want you to come back to that. Now, verse 34 says again: But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Now go to verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He says unto them, How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstools. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? No man was able to answer him a word. Neither does any man from the day forth, ask him any more questions. The Word of God closes our mouths. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Friend, this evening, what think ye of Christ? Some people think very little of him. Some people think nothing of him.
There was one time I thought very little of him. Now he is my everything. Jesus, my Lord. But what think ye of Christ this evening? We're reading from Scripture. It's nothing to do with anybody else. It's pure Scripture, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. We're coming in again at verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart. For us Christians sitting in the hall, do we? Do we? Let us be honest with one another. Let us be honest before our Saviour this morning, this evening. Do we? Do we love our neighbour the same way? Very hard thing to do. But do we? And here the Lord Jesus Christ is putting it to them. He's closing their mouths, isn't he? He closes some of our mouths as well. But he's hoping to open other mouths. In Jeremiah 7, it tells us that the heart is deceitful and above all things, desperately wicked. And who can know it? The heart's a wonderful thing. We're told in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believeth in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The heart. The word heart in the Bible is not what we call this pump that's in here. The heart that we call in the Bible is described as the parliament of a person's life, their being. And it's there where the wishes are expressed and the decisions that are made. You know, the heart's a wonderful thing. And we're going to find out tonight. But it's in a diseased state. It's in sin. And the only heart specialist we have to sort it out, to deal with it, is the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood that cleanses all our sins away. What think you of Christ tonight, friend, if you're listening in? See, it's not the hand
that affects the heart. It's the heart that affects the hand. And we're going to prove that tonight. Will you come over with me to Matthew chapter 15? Matthew chapter 15. And here we find that the Pharisees again. Then came the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes was just the same as lawyers. They thing with the Sanhedrin. And they're trying to catch the Lord out again. I just want you to come in with me to verse 7. And here he says the same things as we did in Matthew 22. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah put the prophecy, ye saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far, far from me. That's what we're doing today. The unsaved are going through a ritual. They're coming to the church, but it means nothing to them. They're honouring them with their lips, but nothing else. And sad to say, in our times as well, the Christians, and some, we must be honest and truth. But in vain they do worship me, teaching from doctrines the commandments of men. No difference from the Pharisees. No difference from the Sadducees. No difference from the Hadrians. No difference. As in the days of Noah, there is no difference. But in vain they do worship me, teaching from doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Let me say to you that's listening in, hear and understand, please. Not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth that defileth a man. Then cometh his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying? Oh yes, we can get offended, can't we? The sinner, when he hears the word of God, he can get offended, even in our families. When we try to witness to them, oh, they can get offended. But he answered, the Lord answered, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. There's no light in them. If there's no light in them, how can they tell you of the light? Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. A parable is a story with a heavenly meaning. A heavenly meaning. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Oh, brothers and sisters, we're all, a lot is still without understanding, aren't we? It can't be all to the unsaved tonight. We have to be standing and be counted as well. Where's our understanding in things of God? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out as draught? But these things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Not the hand that defiles the heart, it's the heart that defiles the hand. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, and blasphemies. These are all things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Sin is indwelt within a man. When he's born as a babe, he's a sinner. Because our first parents, Adam and Eve, had sinned. And we bear that sin. And only Christ can take it away. What think ye of Christ this evening? What think ye of his word this evening? You know, friends, you can take a pig right near the factory here. You can take a pig and you can scrub it clean. And you take H Chanel number 5 and you can plaster it. And you can put under it a ribbon round its neck. And you can take it into your living room. But the minute you turn it loose, it will jump into the first mud puddle it sees. Because the reason is, it's been cleaned up, but its nature has never been changed. It's still a pig. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. We're new creatures in Christ, because we're washed and cleansed in the precious blood of our Saviour and Lord. Friend, tonight you're listening to it. What think ye of Christ? See, we can try. Or we can do great things ourselves. We can try and we can perform. Try to reform ourselves. Oh, we can try to do this and do that and follow that glory, follow him, follow him, do the next thing. But you know, it's only temporary. There is a deeper transformation that's needed. And that transformation is the heart, our inner being. Brothers and sisters, what a Saviour we have. What a heart specialist we have. He cleanses us from all our sins. What you need tonight is Christ. What you need tonight is the precious blood. What you need tonight is the Holy Spirit. What you need tonight is to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot. And he will not, if he's not born again, be saved. Let me ask you tonight, friend, what you think of Christ. I'm not asking you to look at your church. I'm not running down everybody's church. I'm asking you what you think of Christ. What you think of scriptures. What do you think what the Lord is saying to you tonight? This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far away. It's far away.
I didn't know, want to know anything about Christ or anything or God or anything. Didn't know nothing about him.
I had my life when I was getting on and I was doing all right. And you're probably the same. But there come a time in your life where God will speak to you and you either take him or leave him. And if you leave him, you've been told where you'll go. And I plead with you tonight, friend, if you're not saved, you grab him with both hands, because that's what I done when I heard. That's why when I heard the precious word. So take him at his word. Come unto me, all that's labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I make lowly heart, and you'll find rest on your soul. Isaiah tells us, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. There's nothing else. Why reject him? For man made doctrines. For boys that compromise God's word. It was time that the Christians as well stood up and be counted on our days. We have a lovely Saviour. He went to Calvary and shed his precious blood for you and for me. He hung upon a tree. He died a terrible death. But his wounds wasn't for me. That was just man's cruelty. But his death was for me. But he rose the third day, and he set the right hand of the Father interceding in our behalf. That's the gospel. Christ died for the sinner, and he rose again. I'm waiting for Christ coming. Who are you waiting for? Let me ask again before I finish. Where's your standing tonight, friend? Are you in Christ? Are you still in your sin? Where are you heading? Are you in solid ground? Are you in sinking ground? Where are you going to end up? Eternal life in heaven or eternal life in hell? It's your choice. For Christ has done all the work. Come unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. And him it cometh to me. I will no wise cast out. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word tonight. Amen. Maybe we could sing a wee chorus, a wee word, a wee few lines of this here.